Hi, everybody.
Hi, Joanna.
Good to see you. Give everyone a minute to get here. Hopefully, a bunch of us will be here on a Monday. I rescheduled this call on a Monday because I'm flying to New Jersey tomorrow evening to be with my parents for the Jewish holiday. And in the interim, somehow my team scheduled a call for tomorrow at 3. I just realized today, like, oh my gosh. So we almost could have had our call on Tuesday. All right. Well, let's get started. No, sorry. All right, notes either. Well, I guess I'll just start with this. Okay. So we are today starting a two-call module on time, moving with the flow on time. We're going to have our live call on it today. And then the part two to this call is a recording, which will drop in your member center next Tuesday. So you'll get it then. Before I jump in, and we start looking together at moving with the flow of time, I wanted to just take a couple of minutes because there have been a few questions on the Embody program, and I made another nice chart, which I hope will help clear up some confusion. I've been so happy as some of you have been stepping into advanced and also into Embody. It makes my heart so happy. Also, a number of you have reached out to me to say that you really, really, really want to step into one of the two, but it's just not the right moment for one reason or another. And it feels really important to say that timing is important and timing is everything. And there should be no fear of missing out if it is not the divine timing for you. That's not a good sales thing, but I'm not going to do that. It's right. Like, that is just the truth. I trust that each of you know what is right for you. And if you know that we are meant to continue to work together, but it can't be right now, we will work together when the timing is right. I know that. That being said, I know that a number of you have a sense that it is the right timing and you're still on the fence and you have some questions. And so I wanted to share a couple of pieces. Number one, there's one spot left in advanced, and I know a couple of you are thinking about it. And the special rate is for advanced is good until tonight. There was a question about, if I want to join advanced later, will there be special rates and all of that? And this is what I always do, just so that you all know and have a lay of the land. The rate that you are getting right now is your special rate for this time period through tonight. If at any point in the future for this coming cohort or other cohorts, I have spots open that don't get taken up by the graduating class, I will always first open it up to Sacred Depths alumni. And I'll give you, you're not going to get the same rate as you're getting now. I'll give you like a special because I love you rate, but it won't look like the one now. And there is also a very, very good chance that I will be raising the rate of advanced in the future. So just for those of you that wanted all the info on that, that's that. The big questions were on Embody, because it's a different kind of program. And so I wanted to share just for a little bit on how Embody works. So that it's more clear. Whereas advanced is about learning new skills that we haven't learned in sacred depths, that everything in sacred depths are the foundations for those new skills, those somatic skills, the shadow pieces. Embody is really about taking the sacred depth skills to the next level in terms of integrating it for yourself. Both for your own inner work, as well as using it for clients. It's really going from the breakthroughs to the transformations and having time to really go deeper into the nuances and the details and the persistent and the consistent of the skills. So that, number one, when you're working with clients, you don't have to think about it. You can just at any moment use a skill or a technique, and you know you're embodying it. That's why it's called embody. And then also so that you have the time and space to take the breakthroughs that have been coming through in sacred depths. And I know they are moving forward, but this is kind of like a special container to have the space. For yourself and to move forward on your actions and your inner work and your business with the sacred depth skills. So I'm going to share my screen. Hopefully this will work. I'm getting all fancy these days. I'm very, very, again, very proud of myself. I created this myself. I wanted to show you just a little bit an example of a quarter. I actually have examples of the first two quarters of the program, so you can see a little bit more how it works and all the pieces work together. So the first quarter of Embody, we are focusing on the rewiring your negative thought technique. And then along with that, we're using those 3 months of not only going deeper into learning this technique for clients, but we're using it for you to work on your not good enough thought patterns and transforming those patterns. So as an example, this is how it would look. We kick off this quarter with the half day live training retreat in July. And during that half day retreat, not only do we review the rewiring technique and get into more of the details of it, but through the reviewing of the rewiring technique and the details, I give you space and we go through very specific rewiring exercises for you to go deeper to unpack your not good enough thoughts and neural pathways. And we spend half the day with this. That kicks off our quarter. And then from there, we spend the rest of July really going deeper into all of this. And the ways that we go deeper into all of this is in your monthly skills practice call, you get to practice the rewiring technique. So not only do you get to practice it, but then when your partner is practicing it on you on that call, you get to continue working with the not good enough neural pathways. You also get specific homework that you're going to be working on each week on your not good enough neural pathways to do that persistent, consistent work of the transforming it. And then the kind of added bonus is in one of our Q&A calls that month, we're going to spend the first half hour using this to address limiting beliefs in your marketing and do some marketing writing on it. So we start the quarter off with this, but then we continue the next month to go deeper. In the recorded training call, we're still working with the not good enough neural pathways. And I give you a technique to work with your inner imposter as well as your inner confident one, which is also a technique you can use with clients. You get to work on that technique in the practice call, as well as do your own persistent and consistent inner work when you have your partner practice with you on it. And then we're following it up on the business level in August by looking at your confident one through the lens of marketing so that your ideal prospects pick you. And then we spend one more month in the quarter looking at these rewiring techniques and transforming your own not good enough in September. The monthly training, the recorded call, we're going to go deeper into celebration techniques where you also get to go deeper into celebrating yourself, right? Related to the not good enough. And the practice call that month, you get an opportunity to practice those nuanced celebrating skills and to go deeper with your own celebration. And then as a community, we're going to do a 7-day social media celebration challenge to attract prospects, right? So this is just one sample of how all the different pieces work. I did it for quarter two, but I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But quarter two, we're looking at visioning skills, transforming your not visible fears. What I love about this format, again, is that it's not really new content. We're going deeper with the content that you already know. You're working it to be able to become more masterful with clients, as well as to transform your inner pieces to take the business action that you want to be taking. For some of you, you're going to want to show up for every single call and get every little last piece in. For others of you, you're going to want to maybe show up just for the quarterly retreat and show up on the Q&A calls as needed. This is a do-it-your-way program where you get to really decide how much or how little you want to take in. A couple of other questions that we got that I just want to make sure I answer on this is, I spoke about the time thing, the flexibility piece. Oh, there is going to be other opportunities to step in to embody. So it won't be at the special rate. It'll be at the regular rate for the program. My intention, we'll see if this comes to be, but I'll just tell you my intention now is that this is a rolling admission program where graduates can come in at the beginning of each quarter. So you won't get the special rate, but there will be other opportunities to come in. There's another piece I wanted to say about that. Oh, and that being so, we're not covering every single last sacred depths skill in the 12 months. Every quarter, I'm picking a set of skills that we're going deeper into. Hopefully that helps you kind of understand a little bit more about how Embody works. Because there was all of this confusion, I guess I wasn't clear when I first shared all of it, which is why I'm going over it now again. I'm going to extend the special rate to Wednesday, not for advanced, but for Embody, just so that now you have more information if that helps you make a better decision about the Embody program. We'll hold it until Wednesday. I'm not going to send out any more emails. I think there's one more email going out today. If you know you want in, you know, I trust that you'll register before then or get in touch with me or Caitlin or Inval. Does anybody have any questions on any of this? No? Okay.
Oh, I do.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
If I wanted to look up information just on the embodied workshop, which I had a vague sense about, what would be the best email to look backward in my search process? Would it be the one that was sent out? You know how many emails there are, right?
They've been in every email that I've sent you this week. But okay. Let me see if I might be able to just draw quick the link in here if I have it.
And would be another notch in your tech sophistication belt.
I know, for real. Okay, I think this is it. So okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Is this it? Wait, hold on. Hopefully you'll be able to access it. If not, Sarah, I will, I'll make sure you get it. Oh, thank you, Lisa. Lisa already put it in there. Her tech skills are better than mine. All right. Anybody else have any other questions on this before we continue? Yeah. And if anybody has any private questions that they want to ask or don't want to right now, I'll hang on after the call. Or we can always talk. If you've been like, oh, she keeps on saying talk to Caitlin or involve, I really want to talk to Joanna. We can do it too. All right. Let me get my note. Here we go. All right, moving with the flow of time. So time is one of the most important issues that can come up when we are working with other people to support them in achieving their goals, when we're coaching them. And if time is something that's not working well or in an aligned way for a client, I mean, we all know it can be an obstacle to their progress. Or if they are a get it done gal like I am, but time isn't working well for them, maybe it's not an obstacle to their outer progress on goals, but it becomes an obstacle to feeling the way they want to feel in their life, or to being able to live out the values that they want to live in their life, like freedom or spaciousness or whatever it is. So as practitioners who are holding space with our clients to support them in growing and evolving and achieving their goals, we want to know how to also work with time. Because or else the time thing can really sabotage our clients in one way or another. I'll just share at the outset that I've seen for myself that the more that I personally have learned how to flow with time, the easier it's been for me to check my filters on time when working with clients. Because if, like, we know this, right? We've seen this so many times in Sacred Depths. If we come with our own beliefs and ideas and energetics about time that are unchecked, we are going to bring those into the container with the client, right? And it's usually not going to be helpful. So today's call, just so you know how it's set up, today's call, we're going to look at more what I would call like the foundational principles, behaviors, philosophical ideas, and inner pieces that we want to understand about time when we're working with our clients. And inner pieces around time. The recording that you're going to get next week, the training recording on time, is going to be about outer strategies to support clients to be able to flow better with time. Let me ask you this to kick us off. How do issues with time show up for you? So take a moment, make a list or a partial list of what's not working for you because of issues with time, or what you're tolerating right now because of issues with time. And I'll just give you some examples to stir the pot on this. So for example, maybe for you, you don't feel like you have enough spaciousness in your life. Maybe because of time, self-care practice has gotten thrown out the window. Maybe for you, your time issues show up as constantly showing up late for things. Or as I have had happen with me, although I'm in progress for improvement, my children getting mad at me for showing up late for things. Maybe for you, issues with time show up as not creating what you want to create in your business or in your work. Or maybe for you, you end up working much later than you would like to. It just feels like you're always working. Maybe for you, issues with time show up as feeling angry at others because you work more than you would like to. I used to blame all of my mismanagement of time on my husband. Like sometimes it was somehow it was his fault that I was working more than I wanted to. Maybe for you, issues with time show up as you've got an energy, a drain on your time. Like you're spending tons of time on client correspondence. Maybe for you, you have too much open time and then nothing gets done. Right? So those are just some examples. What's not working for you or what are you tolerating because of time? Carmen's saying, yep, it's hard to understand time. Carly Jo is saying pretty much all of the above. Yeah, and see what else? What are some of the other kind of impacts? And if you want to share in the chat what you're seeing, what's coming up for you. Carly Jo, I'm so glad you're bringing this in because this is a biggie, especially I think for solopreneurs. Carly Jo is saying, I've struggled to prioritize friendships because it has felt like there's so many pulls on my time. I have certainly felt that in moments, and I have heard that before. Vesica's saying, I have a challenge with time. I feel like I have so much time, but it seems like nothing I want to accomplish actually happens. Yeah, it's frustrating. Doris is saying, I feel a lot of overwhelm, pressure, anxiety around time. Yeah, it's one of those spoken or unspoken things that kind of impact so much, right? And if you're working, like think about clients that you're working with just for a moment, how do issues with time show up for your clients? Obvious and not so obvious, maybe that it's time, about time. Caroline saying, I believe my negative thought that I need a block of time to do deeper thinking or work, right? And then we don't make that block of time and it never comes. And then we just don't do the things. Yeah. It's good to be aware of that. Lisa saying, over scheduling and not taking down time or time off because there's so much to do between work, family, housework. Yeah, that's so common. Absolutely. Expectations of what can actually happen in time doesn't match the reality. Yeah. Good. Heather.
Thanks for calling on me. Time is like a trigger thing for me, or the term time management, because we're all afforded 24 hours in a day. If somebody is a good time manager, they don't get 28 hours in their day. Sure. And me, who I'm a horrible time manager, I don't get only 20 hours in my day. So like, for me, time management is like a triggering concept.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And what I was just about to say next is that so much when people talk about time, they focus only on these outer, like, how do we manage our time? And some of those tools are really helpful, which is why I'm going to share some of them next week. But it starts with the inner relationship with time, right? How we relate to time is going to dictate, you know, how we manage time. So that's such a great, thank you for giving me that segue. It is a trigger term for a lot of people, and we're taught to believe certain things about time, which then dictates how we move through time. Okay, good. So let's keep on going with that. If you or your clients struggle with time, I continue to stand by what I just said, like always and forever, that almost always, if there's a struggle with time, an inner exploration needs to be part of the work for any of the outer time tools to be effective. And that is because most human beings have a misaligned relationship with time. How we experience time is how we experience our lives. I'm going to say that again. It's a pretty big concept. How we experience time is how we experience our life. And how we experience time and how we use our time has everything to do with what we believe about time. How we experience time and how we use our time has everything to do with what we believe about time. So take a moment and journal on what's your relationship with time. What's your relationship with time? Yeah, and I see in the chat, Sarah saying that how we experience time is how we experience our life. It brings something up, a little bit of crying, vomiting, and hopeful. Carmen is saying it makes you feel hopeless. Carmen, hang on. We're gonna take this piece by piece. But yeah, I mean, like I said, this is big stuff, right? And we're just not taught in school. I don't know, somehow they teach us history dates and I don't know, like photosynthesis, but they don't teach us how to relate to time in aligned ways, right? And we have to relearn oftentimes as adults. Without any myth of arrival or perfection, I am still continually in progress. So, what's your relationship with time? Take another minute with that one. In a little bit, I'll open up for shares. I have some other questions first. What's your relationship with time? I Here's the next question. What do you believe about time? What are some of the beliefs? Not the, I'm looking here. I mean, if there's some pretty ones that you really embody, that's great. Write it down, but don't write down the things that you think you should think about time. Be honest with yourself. What do you really think and believe when it comes to time? Caroline is saying the lesson is to hustle and do more, right? Which is so much how so many of us are oriented, right? That's the way to make the best use of time. Carly Jo is saying there is never enough time, which is a both and statement, because it's true, there will never be enough time to do all the things that you want to do, yes, which I can feel and experience in a surrendered way. And there's still a part of me that really wrestles against this one and gets angry about it. Yeah. Anita's afraid of wasting time. I believe the amount of time I have on this planet is limited, which it is. So I want to use it well. And then that leads to guilt if you're not using it well, and that guilt is a waste of time. And right. Yeah. So just like we've been learning all along the way in Sacred Depths, just starting to, or even if we're already aware of our beliefs around time, being able to really look and see how what those beliefs are and then how they impact is so important. All right, I'm going to ask you another question to think about. Some people really love this next piece and other people don't resonate with it at all. So I'm just offering it as something to think about. Oftentimes, not always, but sometimes our beliefs about time are very much linked to our beliefs about the universe or authority figures or our own deserving. I'm going to say that again, and then I'm going to explain a little bit more what I mean and give examples. Oftentimes, our beliefs about time are incredibly linked. It's a philosophical thing, right? So they're incredibly linked to our beliefs either about the universe in general or our beliefs about authority figures, right? Time is even called often Father Time. Or our beliefs about our own value. Time and our value are oftentimes very linked. So in other words, I'm going to name some different beliefs about time, and I'll show you what I mean by this. So if you happen to have a belief rolling around inside of you that time is in control of you, you can't control time, time is in control of you. Is that related somehow to a relationship with an authority figure, with a parent, a teacher, et cetera, right? Oftentimes what we've projected onto authority figures, we also project onto time as an authority figure. Here's another example. If we believe that we're prone to wasting time related to our own value, right? Who we are. So let's stick with this authority figure piece for a moment. When you think about your relationship with time, how is it related to your relationship with authority figures and what you project onto authority figures? Another example of that might be time isn't on my side, right? Time is something that's against me. And then also think about how your beliefs or relationship with time might be related to what you feel you deserve in life or your value. In other words, what I'm trying to say about this is that oftentimes our beliefs about time, they're about time, but they're about all the other things. And time is because time is so linked with how we live our lives, we take those beliefs from all the other realms and project them onto time. All right, let's pause here. I'd love to hear some of your voices. What are you seeing so far that feels important to you? Carmen. It's hard to hear you. It feels like maybe there's something on your mic.
How about now?
Oh, so much better. Yeah, so much better. Okay,
good. I think the one that impacted me the most is the relationship between the beliefs of time and an authority figure. Like every time I thought of time as a dominatrix whose strategy or self-control is mindfuck, where there is no clarity, there is no communication, and I'm so horrified of how much I'm gonna fuck up just by showing up, because I know that I'm gonna show up at the wrong time. And in sitting back after hearing you speak of the authority figure, it's like, well, yeah, time is a narcissistic asshole. And it's my father figure right there.
Yes.
And a lot of the relationships that I have with men.
Yeah.
I'm
getting.
I don't know if it's my heart, my head, or my gut, but everything feels like it's exploding.
Yeah. I'm getting chills, like just throughout my whole body as you're talking. I can, like, this feels so important, right? Because time actually is made up in many ways, and it gets to be whatever we want it to be if we're intentional about it. If we're not intentional about it, as I was saying, like, it can often just be these projections, right, from other wounds and limiting beliefs in our lives. And it feels to me like you're seeing so clearly what you've made time out to be for you. Imagine what could shift for you if you projected a different identity onto time and then had a different relationship with time, totally within the realm of possibility. Good. Really well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Doris.
I'm so glad you're bringing this topic, Joanna. I've been contemplating this month my relationship with time. And one thing that came up when you spoke about our relationship with feeling undeserving and unworthy, that was my aha, because I feel like I always have this sense of urgency around time. And by that, I mean, I always have a feeling, okay, I don't know how many years I have, so I have to get things done now. I cannot waste time. And I feel like almost as if I'm on this race, I'm sprinting, and I never get caught up. I never get to the finish line. And I'm always defeating myself, always frustrated. I always cannot reach the standard of what is good enough. And also another piece of it is the relationship. For me, time is all about past and future. In the present, that's my relationship. I don't see time. Every time I think about time, it's always in relation to the present or future, which generates a lot of regrets and anxiety. So there is this constant striving, and I never get there. So thank you. That was a big aha for me.
Yeah, I can feel it. I'm getting chills also as you're speaking, right? It's so, I mean, so big to see that the projecting of the not good enough and never good enough, you're projecting that onto your relationship with time, how you see time and how you move through time, and not giving yourself the gift of being with the present because of all of that. Beautiful, good. And like I said to Carmen, you get to change that relationship if you want, right? You can have a different relationship and project a different identity there. Vesica.
I love the communication right now around this, or the insight. But I have an opposite experience that causes me a lot of challenge, because I tend to live in the present moment. So what happens is that I don't operate in time. And my belief is that time is an illusion. And I come in with a universal belief that I am always at the right place at the perfect time. And when I was younger and I was living in a different environment, like when I was younger and where I lived, I could just go out and connect with somebody and get a client. Like there was never like any planning or strategizing or online marketing or any of that. And now with all of this, I find myself, there's like my planning that never gets done. And then when I'm in the present moment, I'm just not, it's like I don't have a great relationship with this dimension of time, but I have a great relationship with the universe and how it flows. So there's like something, and I don't find myself like upset at time or angry at time. I know that's this dimension we're living in, but I find that I have a challenge, and I think I equate time with discipline, which is very masculine for me, that discipline. And I keep trying to change it into devotion, and my feminine flow is my timing, but I have my masculine structure is still it's not supporting me in a way, like I'm not activated inside of it so that I can actually realize the physical things that are coming from the spiritual dimension, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I'm not seeing about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, so let me just reflect back what I'm hearing, which feels very true of what I know from you, because of you, I should say, not from you, like, because Jessica, you are, I don't know, you are of a different time. And like, you are so connected in, right, with like the, like all the greater. And so it makes so much sense to me that you would have this beautiful idea of right timing always, and time is an illusion, and all the pieces that you said. And then kind of the difficulty to overcome becomes like, okay, so then how do you take that into this world where there is some structure needed? What's, it feels like it's just even a, yeah, what's coming up for you?
I think every time I cry, every time I share, I cry. what's coming up for me is that this has been, I appreciate, again, the way my life has been up to a certain point, because the way that life was easier, being in the flow. So is operating this. And now the thing has shifted, you know, and it's, and I feel sad that I'm struggling with this. And I feel like I shouldn't, because I know how easy, you know, I've been struggling with for a long time. It's the time thing. Yeah. So I just, it's just bringing up, like, you know, I have to tell myself and remind myself that everything is perfect in this moment. I don't need to be stressed out because I haven't accomplished everything, and I don't need to make, I don't do the back, past or present thing. I had key myself here. But if the feeling is that the idea that there's so many things that I could have accomplished, that I have it because of this. So it's kind of like a grief.
Yeah. I hear that. You honor all of that. And it feels like the moving even more deeply into this moment is perfect as it is. I forget the exact words you just used. Even though you know it so much, there is more to go there. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Monique.
Wow, everyone's shares so deep. So I've got an interesting relationship with time. I used to be the queen of making it happen and getting shit done. And then I had two accidents and time stopped. And I literally had to focus and rebuild mind, body, spirit, everything. And now, so that was my New York life, right, growing up. And now I'm in Hawaii. I have no concept of time or space, kind of like Jessica. Just time heals, unless there's a deadline. And I know I got to be somewhere. I haven't worn a watch since I left New York in 2015. Yes, I can find the time somewhere, right? On my phone, I can grab it, like someone's got it. But generally, it's this, and it feels great, and it feels healing to my body. But much like everyone else is talking, and having the experience of getting shit done, I don't always get shit done anymore. And sometimes that's okay. I have a big to-do list. If it doesn't happen, it's like, oh, I can get it done tomorrow. I don't need to make that phone call right now. It's not the end of the world. But then time is so stretchy that I get stuck in, oh, well, I should be farther along than I think. And this is why I was loving last week's conversation about the mystery. And I was like, okay, I can't wait till we talk about time, because how do they both connect? Because, yeah. And then another layer to that is I'm independent. I don't have a spouse to balance the other part of time. I don't have wealthy friends and family to help me out. And again, it's like, oh, time, tick tock, tick tock. I should, again, be farther along. And then the future, right? And then we talk about the future. Having just lost my grandmother, well, what about my future? Who's going to take care of me? What's going to happen then? And so I dip my toe into it, but then I fall back into, but what's real right now? Let me just be present. And the birds always sing and the trees dance, and this is real.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm so glad that you're bringing all of it forward. And yes, so as you were speaking, and also as Vesco is speaking, I was thinking about one of the concepts that we learn when I train in shadow, which is that every part of us or every energy has extremes. It has a hyper and a hypo. Usually when we put something into shadow, we're just bopping back and forth between the extremes without being, it's not the place in the middle, but every moment has its own aligned place on the spectrum that, you know, is going to be appropriate to meet it with. And part of what I'm hearing and what you are sharing, and part of what I'm hearing and what Vesca is sharing is like, and I think this happens so often because our culture is so hyper about time, like time means everything. And we have this limited amount of time and it's all about getting as much done as we can. It's like, it's so extreme. Oftentimes in order to heal from that, we end up in the other extreme, which is like, which is so beautiful, right? Like only we get, right? But it's, and which I think is, and for you, Monique, it was necessary to go there, right? Because of everything you experienced until 2015, it needed that balancing out. And it feels like now that you've gone there, maybe there is an opening for where is a place between these two. And sometimes it's going to be more to the like, everything is open, right? And sometimes it's going to be a little bit closer to like, okay, a little more structure. But now can we find some flexibility and mobility and relationship to the full spectrum of it? Does that land?
Yeah. And I'll also add, I don't like to use the word manifesting, but everybody knows that word. So again, I used to be in that making things happen. I used to be able to manifest anything and everything I wanted. And now I just can't anymore. Not that I can't. I know that's not true, but it just happens differently. So I'm trying to find the magic, or I don't know if magic is the right word, the missing link. There's a link there somewhere. And I speak to friends who still tell me, no, you can manifest things. Trust me, you can. Like, but it's not the same way. It's different. And it's frustrating because I don't know it. Otherwise, I'd have X amount of money already. I'd be able to travel again. I'd be able to A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Yeah. Anyways, okay.
I'm glad you're in the inquiry, though. I think it's important. All right, let's keep on going with this. I told you all at the beginning of last week when we started this whole last section of Sacred Depths, with, you know, kicking off being in the mystery, that this was the philosophical leg of the program, right? I mean, time, it's such a common word, but it's such a cosmic, you know, concept in a way. It gets to the core of so much. So far, based on your inner inquiry and looking at beliefs and relationship, what is a shift that you would make in your beliefs about time? So in other words, what would be a more aligned belief around time for you? What would be a more aligned belief? I get you might not believe it yet, right? We're kind of just toe dipping into possibilities. What would be a more aligned belief? I love what Julie's sharing. I never worry and I never hurry. Oh yeah. When I am in that mode, it drives my husband crazy as well. Vesca saying, I'm the master of time in this dimension. Others saying everything happens at the right time. Who else? What would be a more aligned belief? time is what I make of it. I can co-create with time. It's not an authority figure. I use my time well, and I'm in flow with co-creating with the universe. I love that. Co-creating with the universe. And Lisa, I'll toss this, since we're on the topic, if it lands, that you can co-create with time. I'm not slow. I'm wisely marinating. What might change for you on an inner level if you believed the belief that you just identified? And also, what would you be doing differently right now? So what would change for you on an inner level with that belief? And what would you be doing differently, like starting right now? If you really believed this new belief, what's one thing you would be doing differently? Or two. All right, we still have a lot to look at today, but I do want to get one or two shares on this last piece. If you were to really believe this, what's something that you might be doing differently, or how would you feel differently, Jennifer?
For me, I would get more done. I have this, because I think it's an authority figure, like I don't set time frames on anything. So everything's just like this elusive, like, yeah, I'm gonna get this program out, but I don't give myself these, you know, limits to accomplish them. So if I really see it as co-creating and having that time, like this is when it's gonna be done and all of that, it's like co-creating together instead of like, ooh, if I don't get it done at this time, I'm gonna get in trouble. Or yeah, so it's just really, this has been really interesting. It's bringing up a lot.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, and I love it. If you're co-creating, it's almost like bringing the very first thing we learned in sacred depths into this relationship with time, which is that there's an equal playing field. Like, it doesn't have power over you. Right. And you don't even necessarily, I mean, yes, we can like mold it, right? But have that much power over it. The power is when you come together.
Together, yeah, super powerful. Thank you.
Good. Anyone else want to share? What are you seeing from this last question? What might you do differently? Vesica.
If I can, if what I'm feeling is I would listen to my heart completely, taking like following the guidance of my heart, but I would align, like instead of resisting the mind or resisting the mental, you know, that people are usually living from, the to-do list, I would use my heart to guide my mind to let be in check so that I know that I have, because I'm very strategic with my mind, I'm very good at that. So I would allow my strategy to follow my heart, and I would not overanalyze or overthink, that I would just say, okay, this is the guidance I get in this moment, which is always good for me in the present moment. And okay, how am I going to do this? And then I would just take the action and not allow myself to be taken out by the analyzing of that.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Good. Good. Lisa.
if I believe that there's plenty of time and I use my time well, I have to read this, and I'm in flow with co-creating with the universe, I wouldn't be worried about anything, I don't think. And I just think I'd definitely be doing less email, that's for sure. Anybody else can relate to that? Was I on this planet to do email? Maybe not so much. So I just listen to the universe rather than I'm really relating to everybody with this dynamic of, you know, being in flow. And then when we take ourselves out of flow and we think of our to-do list and, you know, get into that way of thinking, it's a waste of energy is what I'm really seeing.
I can feel from what you're sharing, exactly what you just said, that you can see how so much of your energy gets tied up in the worry. And if you had this shift in belief around time, you'd still get things done because you're a get it done person, but it would open up so much more creativity and new possibilities and energy and opening for you.
Yeah. But listening to you saying that, you say I'm a get it done person. I don't know if I believe I'm a get it done person. So more to explore, more to explore. Thank you.
Good. And Kelly, and then we're going to keep on going.
Yeah. Mine is actually not that different from what's been shared, but what came to me was the belief is that I work in shaman time, which in my tradition is time is a spiral and we're always like in this non-linear space, and like what's happening in the future is happening now, and what's happening in the past is we can shift all of it right now and shift forward and backward in our own time continuum, but also into previous and future beings. And when I really drop in there, everything shifts, like everything slows, but it also speeds up, and I can feel how I drop in and out. And when I'm in, it's really magical. And I'm not a Virgo, but gosh, do I love planning and having the three big rocks and putting all the things out. But honestly, like sometimes I feel a little lost in my business around it because I feel like, my planning, like I want to plan to grow strategically, but honestly, the best growth I've had is when I really drop into shaman time. So I would be meditating a lot more, sitting in sacred space a lot more, and would spend less time fighting myself on my plans and ideas.
I have a feeling that this is just a guess, but I actually have a feeling that if you were to drop in more to the shaman time, you'd still get the strategic, you'd still be strategic. It just, you, like you said, you wouldn't be fighting against it and you would be more efficient in it because the work would be done in the meditating and in the shaman time and in the opening up to see more, right? Instead of that fight. Sure. That's a beautiful example of what I was sharing earlier that like, I love the outer tools to help us move through time, but they have to be paired with the inner work and the inner relationship to time, right? Like if Kelly were my client, I might know that blueprinting would be a great tool for her, but I'm not gonna just give it to her without helping her identify this belief, right? That she's identified or come back to it, and then maybe doing a rewiring technique with it, right? Or embodying that belief more or whatever it is. We want to pair those outer tools with the inner work. Beautiful, thank you. So so that's just great segue to remind you all that you all already from Sacred Depths have a lot of tools that you can use to work with whatever beliefs you've just identified. And I really want to encourage you to use, for example, the rewiring tool with it, this new belief that you've identified. And to remember again, just like with everything else, shifting relationship with time isn't a once and done. It's a process. It takes that persistent and consistent work. And in some ways, time more than a lot of other things, because the time pieces are so deeply embedded into our thinking patterns and our constructs of life and what, right? Like I said earlier, it's just like time is life in so many ways, and how it's seeped into our thinking, our orientation of life, you know, all of that patriarchal structures. So we have to work it piece by piece by piece. Okay, so when we're working with clients, what are some tools that we can use? Inner tools. Again, next week, we'll get to the outer tools. But number one, just like we have done so far today, creating awareness on the beliefs, on the relation, on the orientation to time, and then how it impacts not only how we feel, but how it impacts and dictates actions that we take. Creating that awareness, huge, massive, right? You can ask any of the questions that I asked each of you today. For some clients, creating that connection, connecting the dots between the projection of the authority figure onto time, or the projection of the self-deserving onto time, right? Huge. And then from there, using either the rewiring technique or adapting the befriend your fear technique to work with the belief or the fear, you know, inherent in the belief. Or then drawing out a wheel of self-sabotage, where that top piece is the unhelpful belief around time. And then what is the action that it, right? And supporting a client to go deeper to see that. So you have so many different tools already. So that's one thing, the awareness, the belief work, the, you know, all the things that we do with the awareness. Another tool that it can be really, really useful. It's kind of a take on the befriend your fear tool, but it's cultivating trust and friendship with time, supporting clients to make friends with time, right? So thinking so much about Carmen's share before and the identity that she has projected, that dominatrix, right? Like energy onto time, right? So supporting clients to reimagine what this entity of time is, to consciously choose, instead of falling into the default, right? To consciously choose, what is its personality? What is its energy? What is it like? What does it know? And then you can either do a befriend type process with it, where it's just cultivating that relationship. You can support then a client to journal with time every day, to talk to time as a friend versus an enemy or an authority figure, right? And to consistently deepen and create this much healthier, much more aligned relationship with time. All right, there's more, but let me pause there, either on the creating awareness, the belief work, the cultivating trust and relationship with time, anything that anybody wants to ask, or what's clicking for you in all of this? What are you seeing? Anyone want to share or ask anything? Keep on going. Carmen.
Just a quickie, being reminded of the different concepts around time, as quantic, as shamanic, as that spiral wrap in which we are all not binded, but embedded with, felt very cozy into bringing these resources to those memories or experiences that continue feeding into my understanding of time being this evil bitch, and just gaining, regaining, and reconnecting with the pleasure that is just being with.
Yeah. Again, I'm getting chills. It's a completely different paradigm, not just of approaching time, but then of approaching life. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful.
So thank you, everyone.
Vesica.
When Carmen was just sharing it, what got triggered for me is I love the insight of becoming friends, like creating time as a, like an entity of its own and a personality, and what would that look like? And because it is cozy being in the flow, it is safe and very, I'm very good in quantum time or in shamanic time or the present moment or the unified field. And I realized that that Saturn, you know, in astrology kind of operates time, and Saturn to me is associated to a lot of things that may not be as angelic as I might like. And at the same time, I can see how this is actually a choice. I've chosen to be here after many are, you know, in a younger age is not wanting to be here. And this is like another level of actually choosing to come into this dimension and be present with it and co-create with it and work on fulfilling the reason I'm on this planet more, like grounding the energy, grounding it down, like structuring architecture into this dimension in the ground. And I see a way that I can do that is actually, like you were just sharing about befriending, is like becoming a, instead of it being Saturn or related to Saturn or the patriarchal or whatever other influences have created this slowdown of manifestation that usually we just think a thought and appears, you know, that's how I know things to be. There is no physical work that needs to be done. That's this lower dimension. So becoming friends and making time a friend of mine is like, oh my gosh. So I could make this a really sweet helper, you know, and I really like that feels really good to me. And it also, I was just recognizing, oh, this is just the next level of, yeah, I'm happy in my body being here. I'm comfortable in my body here. I'm grateful. And now it's that choosing to bring something here into this third dimension.
Yes. Yes. I love all of that. I'm going to make a toss that you might hate. So just see, I sense it might be really powerful for you to cultivate a relationship with Saturn. I was sensing some Saturn in the shadows there. And it could be like alongside the cultivation of friendship with like, don't leave Saturn or make Saturn the bad one, because, you know, there's higher level energy of everything, right? Including Saturn. I don't know. That's just for now. And we can talk more about it if you're like, huh, or whatever, but that's just my toss to you.
How I can hear it from you is that you're seeing Saturn as an archetype. And I can totally do that. I'm looking at Saturn as a galactic planet and what is operating the planet on a different level, but from an archetypical level, absolutely. And that's what I mean. Like, and I know that what's really great is that right now we're in this huge astrological shift with Saturn being in Pisces. I'm a Pisces. It's all about bringing discipline to our personal, our spiritual practice. And yet that is kind of like right now, me making a relationship with Saturn discipline and really grounding it into that devotion instead of the masculine discipline. It's really that devotion. So yes, I appreciate you reflecting back to me that, because it is something that I've been toying around with. for the last couple months, or the last month, I guess.
Good. Yeah, I could feel there is some ripeness there. Good. And Caroline, just briefly, and if you want to have more of a conversation about it afterwards, Caroline, share more. But the way Vesco was talking about it as an actual planet, but also just like metaphorically, astrology and also Greek myth, Saturn is so much about structure, and kind of like the thing that kicks you in the ass when you haven't taken the structure and you know, done the things that you know you're meant to do, or taking the actions, that kind of thing. Okay. Another piece that I wanted to make sure, well, two more pieces. Well, no. More than two more pieces. Okay. Let me do it in this order. So this next topic is a big topic. I'm only going to, like everything with time, I'm only going to spend a couple minutes on it for now, but I think it will be valuable as we continue to deepen our and understand this relationship with time and shift this relationship with time. Another tool that can be really potent for some clients is what I call receiving work. So, like we were saying earlier, in terms of the relationship to deserving, for someone who has those limiting beliefs around deserving that they're projecting onto time, there is usually then a block to receiving, right? To receiving the time. Receiving is an art and a practice, and it's one that's been lost a lot in our culture and in our society. We know very well the art and the practice of the doing. We have lost a lot of ties to the practice of receiving. And the two work together, right? Well, it's not that one is good and one is bad, or, you know, like the two can really work together. As a side piece, what I have often seen in pretty much anyone that has trouble receiving time is that if there is a block to receiving time, there is also often a block to either receiving money or self-care. Because they're all, so much of it is centered around deserving, the time piece, the money piece, the self-care, the love piece, right? So for some people, having trouble receiving time equals then not having money or being able to receive the money, like really take it in. For other people, having trouble receiving time means they do work, and then there's trouble receiving self-care. So if you are working with a client that has blocks to receiving, you want to do some of that work with them. A good place to start is look at beliefs around receiving. What do you believe, right? Because for some people, there's a belief that receiving makes you weak, or I don't deserve to receive, or I don't know how to receive on my own. Like I'm unable to do it, or it's going to hurt other people if I receive, right? So number one, looking at beliefs around receiving. Shifting some beliefs there. Another piece of receiving work is supporting clients to actually practice being open somatically to receive. And I'm thinking so much, Doris, about you, like in that past and in that future, if there's a closeness to it, right? It's not that open feeling. Like here I am in the present to take in what there is for me, right? So supporting, and I'll share in your member center, one exercise of many that's just about supporting a client to feel and be and receive in the present moment. Um, And then oftentimes another leg of the receiving work is gratitude work. So the more that we can acknowledge, really see and acknowledge and be in gratitude for what we already have, like we can only receive the things that we're grateful for, right? So many people have bank accounts with millions of dollars that they might use to buy things, but they've never truly received that money, right? There isn't that like gratitude and the taking it in, right? So there's that kind of gratitude, but also supporting clients to be in gratitude for time, right? So for example, instead of like, oh my gosh, I only have 5 minutes to journal, I'm so grateful that I have 5 minutes to journal right now. Or thank you, universe, or whatever universe is for you, God, or you know, whatever. Thank you for that time that I had earlier with my kiddo when we were playing on the floor, right? Remembering to be in gratitude and thankful for time. I mean, that was a really big concept that I did in like 6 minutes. So I'm gonna pause there for right now. What's clicking for you? What's feeling important for you? What are you seeing? Questions on that? Receiving. Melody.
This may not be exactly relevant at the moment, but I've been driving and I just kind of got out of my car. And what I wanted to say was that connection between time and money. Mm-hmm. And I'm an ESL teacher and I was doing a vocabulary lesson with my students and I was telling them that culturally, we seem to look at these two concepts, time and money, similarly. And it became a vocabulary lesson because we use similar verbs, waste, lose, invest, save. And I kind of said, hey, two for the price of one, you learn these words and you get these verbs, woo! And I just thought, and how I'd never thought of equating those two for myself necessarily until you mentioned the deserving piece. I went through a book club once on the energy of money. And oh my God, it was like, oh my God, it's about deservingness. And that was such, so thank you for that reminder.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad. I love that you're bringing that together in the ESL that you're doing. It's, yeah. So beautiful. And I'm glad that that kind of came up as a reminder for you. It can be, they really so often are so related. Vesica's asking in the chat, do you ever find that women who have challenges receiving also have issues with trust due to past trauma? Yes. Short answer to that is yes. I mean, so many of our beliefs are rooted not in the here and now, but in the there and then, personally or culturally, right? And that's the other thing I wanted to mention is for each of us, whatever culture we come from, there are concepts of time and beliefs that we don't even realize seeped in about time from that as well, right? But so yes, absolutely. Okay, we have just a couple minutes left. The last piece that I want to share that I feel like Melody started to actually speak to it and bring us there is that can really help with in a relationship with time is think about the language that you use with time. Think about, right? So if it's like, if you're always like, oh, I wasted time, right? Or I lost time on that, or I'm running out of time, that creates right? Words reinforce relationships. So think about the words. Instead of I only have an hour, what if I'm blessed with an hour? I've been gifted with an hour. What if I only get a day for vacation? I've created a day of vacation for myself, right? So start to notice and, you know, and this can be helpful with some clients, track and notice what language you're using with time, because the language that you use with time is directly related to your relationship and your beliefs with time. Start to change the language, another way of changing the beliefs and the relationship. All right. I know it's a big class today. The recording you'll get next week will go into different ways of looking at your schedule and your priorities and blocking time and all that, like all of those outer pieces. But again, always want to pair them with the inner pieces. I'd love to hear from some of you. What are you taking for yourself from our call today, or what questions do you have? So what are you taking for you? I'd like to share. Anyone want to share? What are you taking? Lisa.
I was just thinking I could do a rewiring your beliefs with this new belief. Can we do it with ourselves? We can, can't we?
Yeah, you can absolutely. I mean, it's great when someone else holds the space for you, but you can absolutely do it either internally or as a journaling. You take the rewiring technique and make it a journaling journal from the belief and respond to it. Yeah, lots of different ways to work with it.
Good. Get two for the price of one. I get to practice befriend your fear.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you. Great. I've never thought about my beliefs with time. That's mad, isn't it? Really good.
I'm so glad. Good, good. Julie.
I was just thinking about how in the beginning of the conversation, you said how we experience time is how we experience everything in our lives. And in response to maybe your initial invitation to explore our relationship with time, I just jotted down that I feel like I have plenty of time and spaciousness, but I struggle with managing that time and feeling self-disciplined. And in reflecting on my dad's, you know, sentiment of I never worry and I never hurry, which has really served to help with taking away any sense of urgency, obviously. There's also this sense that I think that I've like inherited from my dad that time is an illusion. And I guess what I'm trying to say is like, if time is an illusion, or if I believe time is an illusion, that in turn influences how I relate to all of my notions, ideas, and dreams about what I can achieve with the time that I have. So there's just, there tends to be this like very fluid, illusory way in which I move through life. And then I'm just like, but I'm still not where I thought I might be by now.
Yes. It feels like there's so much beauty and sacredness to take from your father's ideas and understandings about time. And tell me if I'm hearing this correctly. I think what is kind of emerging from the call today is that it could be valuable for you to reimagine, take the beauty and what really works from all of that, and then reimagine some tweaks on your understanding of time and how you see time and the identity of it, so that it has like all of those beautiful pieces of the spaciousness, but it's not so illusory that you feel like you can't ever grasp onto it and harness it and use it in ways
That totally makes sense, and I agree. And like, I also similarly really appreciated Kelly's share about shamanic time and the cyclical nature and experience of it. That feels very true and feels like almost a more concrete way of illustrating my experience with time as opposed to it being illusory. So it's like there's this, again, the and both component. And then add to all of that, I just feel like I'm really dealing with some like Menno brain and maybe long COVID, as well as, you know, all the things layered that just make me feel very unfocused.
Yeah, it feels like that you did the same kind of movement with time as you did right now. So there are context pieces, and then I think there are also pieces to shift, and that you can really, it's, you can change for yourself there. So good things to work on. Beautiful. Okay, so I am going to, we're officially done with class for today. I know a couple of you had questions on next steps and embody and advance.